This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahi walhamdulillahi wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. I am very, very excited to be here this evening in this Parklands Masjid. The last time I was here, who knows when that was? MashaAllah, 2020, alhamdulillah. And now, 4 years later, or 3.5 years later, we are back in the same masjid. We ask Allah Almighty to accept it from us. The Echoes of Enlightenment is the name given to the theme of this particular tour of Kenya. I delivered the first talk wherein I mentioned the importance of the message that was brought by all the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And now I want to look at a few of the struggles and the messages of particular prophets of Allah. Because Allah says, لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي قَصَصِهِمْ عِبَرَةٌ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. Indeed, in their stories, there are lessons for those with sound intellect. There are lessons. So when we read a story in the Quran of some previous prophet, it's not just for us to say, Subhanallah, look at what happened, and we stop there. But rather, Subhanallah, look at what happened. How does it affect me, and what lessons can I learn from it? Because the echoes of those stories will continue to enlighten our path to this day and right up to the day of judgment. So one of the prophets, the early prophets, was a man known as Nuh alayhi salam, the prophet Noah, may peace be upon him. Unique prophet in the sense that the Quran makes mention of several details unlike other prophets. For example, the exact number of years that he called his people. How many years was that? How many? 950 years. وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا نُوحًا إِلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ فَلَبِثَ فِيهِمْ أَلْفَ سَنَةٍ إِلَّا خَمْسِينَ عَامًا. When we sent Noah, may peace be upon him, to his people, he stayed with them for 1,000 years less 50. That means he stayed with them for 950 years. That does not mean he lived for 950 years. He lived for longer than that. But with his people, 950 years, he called them towards Allah. You and I are fortunate that in our lives, we worship the one who made us alone. Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal, Allah Almighty. Remember, your success and my success is connected to my connection and yours with the one who made me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If I have a connection with Allah through my prayer, through my ibadah and my worship, through my do's and don'ts, then I have succeeded. The minute I unplug, the electricity is off. You can have a sophisticated apparatus. You can have an amazing iron or Hoover or microwave or stove or whatever it may be. You can have a Tesla, one of those electric cars. But if there is no electricity, what is the use of that? It just looks nice from far, but it doesn't work. There is no electricity. There's nothing to plug it in. Somehow you need to make a plan. You need to connect it. You need to ensure that it's working. If there is a battery, you need to recharge that battery. If you don't, it won't work. My prayers 5 times a day. I consider it the recharging of my battery. If I don't connect, something will go wrong. Fajr, Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib and Isha. If I don't connect, something will go wrong. What is the connection? I need to plug in and fulfill my units of prayer. That's it. I have no compromise. My brothers, my sisters, you know what I am saying is not new to you. It's only a reminder. My beloved children, and I see many of the young who are here, I want to acknowledge you. I appreciate the fact that you are here. If I could, I would greet everyone. But we are human beings. It's not humanly possible to do that. However, why I appreciate you is it gives me great joy to see young faces today in Jumu'ah at Jami'a Masjid. I saw the young who filled the first and second sections of the masjid. They must have been there from 9 o'clock in the morning. Am I right? Some of you were there. Agreed? Wallahi, I saw these faces, young boys, and I thought to myself, may Allah grant you goodness. It's a very good sign. The deen is always upright. It does not need us, we need it. We need it. And if you look at the ummah needs us. The ummah needs us to be correct members of the ummah. What is the point of saying, I am part of the ummah of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but I don't follow, I don't have a feeling. Today what is happening in Gaza, for example, is a shining example of how the ummah came together. Don't you feel our brothers and sisters are struggling? They are oppressed. They are hurt. They are being killed. A genocide has occurred and is continuing to occur. We feel it. If you don't feel it, can you really call yourself a member of the same ummah? May Allah grant them victory. May Allah Almighty bless them, and may He forgive us for our shortcoming and our weakness. May Allah Almighty forgive us, because in a way we have failed them. May Allah forgive us. Nonetheless, if I do not get up for Salatul Fajr, how will I help the Ummah? If I am not there for Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha, what will happen to me? If I develop bad habits, what's going to happen to me? You are young, you are coming up. Do not have friends who are going to chase you away from the path of Allah. You need echoes of enlightenment in every circle that you are in. Starting with your family. My beloved fathers and mothers who are here this evening and who may listen to this later, invest your time in your children. Spend a lot of time with them. Teach them goodness. Take them out to show them what the world is all about, what's right and wrong. If you don't spend time with your children, they might learn the wrong things from outside and you will regret. Where do the kids learn how to do drugs? Mostly it's outside the house. Do you agree? Because sometimes the parents have just blinked their eyes. Before they know it, it's too late. Addicted. My beloved children, if you have bad habits, we are here to help you. We don't want to condemn you and doom you. We want to help you so that you can come. We need you. You are the leaders. When you have bad habits, how will you lead? When you go around pinching and stealing, when you go around with dirty habits of immorality and values that are not part of our faith, that are completely unacceptable, for example, we abuse, we deceive, we hurt and hate. That's not what we are taught by all the prophets of Allah. Why I say this is Nuh alayhi salam struggled with his own son mentioned in the Quran. He was a prophet of Allah. He had a discussion with his son, but the son was affected by some external factors. He didn't want to worship Allah. He didn't want to follow his own father, who was a prophet of Allah. So I tell my sons and my daughters who are here, listen to the good word. Why should you follow the rules and the regulations of Islam? It's a question. Because they are filled with the highest level of morality and values. And they are filled with discipline. And they will build you into a leader, into a powerful person who is really sober and amazing. You get up in the morning, you pray to the Lord of the worlds. You are never sleeping at that time. You are a leader. Those who achieve, do you think they snore up to 11 o'clock every day? They can't achieve. Young boy got up. He felt that he owned a Bugatti and a Ferrari. Only to realize that was 5 minutes ago in my sleep. He looked around as he gets up. He says, there's nothing. What should I do? I need the car back. There's only one way to get it back. Go back to sleep. Right? Or work hard and years later you will achieve. There's nothing like quick money. You need to work hard. Work very hard. 1 year, 2 years, 5 years, you might be able to afford a place. Another place. The young brother is looking at me. May he wants to get married. May Allah grant him a good spouse. Alhamdulillah. It's not going to come for free. Man istata'a minkum al-ba'ata falyatazawwaj. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, whoever is able and capable should get married. Are you starting to ask yourself, how am I going to become able and capable? Well, if you're drinking and you're clubbing and you're going out with your friends every night, you will never be able and capable because your money is being wasted. Muslims are generally more charitable than others globally, and it's true because they have money. Because they don't waste it in the clubs and the pubs. And they don't gamble it. They're not supposed to. You see, what does Islam want you to do? Be disciplined. You'll have more money than others. Do you know why? You don't even smoke cigarettes. Those who smoke, may Allah forgive you. And may Allah strengthen you to quit the habit. When I see the faces here, you see a smoker, you can tell from a mile that this man is a smoker. And from half a mile, you can smell that he's a smoker. I always feel sorry for the wives of those who smoke. When you get married, you will know why. May Allah forgive us. It's a powerful word of encouragement. Do you know how much money is wasted, wallahi? A packet, two packets, three a day. How much is it in shillings? How much is one packet? Who knows? They know, but they are scared to say, because I will ask you, how do you know? Right? Say $2 to $5, whatever it might be. Imagine every single day, instead of doing sadaqah of $5, you are burning $5. You can get your Jannah. If you were a proper person, disciplined, it's not difficult to throw the bad habit out. Don't be sucked into bad habits. Today you have relatively good looking people. MashaAllah, salah, they will be there. What else? Maybe they don't smoke, they don't club, they don't, but on the phone, they are busy sitting and watching something immoral. They are watching pornography. One, four. When they see something, they forward to their friend. You saw this. Astaghfirullah. When the Quran, the hadith warns you about things and tells you, you want to send something to someone, make sure it's a good example. Because when you die, you continue to get a reward for the good that you promoted with others. And you will also continue to get a sin if you promoted sinful things. So remember this. Nuh alayhi salam lived with his people for 950 years, calling them towards Allah. His own son did not accept the message. He tried with his people. You see, when you talk to a young person sometimes and you tell them, be disciplined, get up for Fajr, come to the prayer. No, but I'm at work. It's hard to pray. People say that. Make a plan. Make a plan. They say, but it's hard to pray. It will take you 2 to 5 minutes. Make a plan. Somehow. Someone will say, but I'm at school. Someone will say, but I'm at university. Someone will say, but I am this. But is only an excuse. So Nuh alayhi salam says, oh Allah, I called my people.
قال ربي إني دعوت قومي ليلا ونهارا.
Oh Allah, I called my people by night and I called them during the day. Which means, in our language, 24/7, I was telling the people, please worship Allah alone. Leave your bad ways, leave your bad habits. Don't worship things besides Allah. 24/7. What happened?
فَلَمْ يَزِدْهُمْ دُعَائِي إِلَّا فِرَارًا.
He says, when I called them, they went further away. You know, someone, you say, hey, brother, come pray. Yeah, who are you? Then he walks out. It can happen. A guy drinking, you say, brother, drop the bottle. What do you mean? I'll bring another one. Who are you? You see that arrogance. Allah says, don't be arrogant. Don't be arrogant. Someone tells you, come to pray. Say, no problem. Give me a lift. Let's go together. MashaAllah. You become companions. Jazakallah khair for reminding me. Shukran for telling me. Someone is lighting the cigarette. You say, brother, I learned a good one from one of my colleagues. He says, if you want to know if something is good, you should be able to say, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, when you start doing it. And when you are finished with it, you should be able to say, Alhamdulillah. Then it's a good thing. I imagine you are lighting a cigarette. You want to put in your mouth. Are you going to say Bismillah? You can't even say Bismillah, because the minute you say Bismillah, it will drop from between your lips. It's on the floor. Imagine you take a puff. I don't even want to say it. Can it be a good thing? Allah, imagine someone going to the club, they say, Bismillah, Bismillah, I'm entering. No, not at all. Only you come to that which is good, you say, Bismillah. You want to know if what you are doing is good, you must be able to say, Bismillah, when you are starting, and when you are done with it, you must say, Alhamdulillah. Then you know you have done something good. See? So, Nuh alayhi salam says, every time I called them, they ran further away. 950 years, very few people listened to what I had to say. Yet, he was a Nabi of Allah. And Allah was watching. Allah gives time to everyone. Allah gives you time, me time. May Allah forgive me. May Allah forgive you and all of us. May Allah strengthen us to fulfill what we are supposed to. Allahumma habib ilayna al-iman. Oh Allah, make beloved to us iman. Make it beloved to us. Make it nice, good in my heart. Zayyinhu fi qulubina, beautify iman in my heart. Make it beautiful. So when something to do with iman, something to do with the deen of Allah, it's beautiful. Today we heard there's going to be a lecture in Parklands. Everyone is here. That is a good sign by the will of Allah. If I call you towards anything besides Allah, throw me out of the masjid. But I'm calling you towards Allah. That's why we are here. And I'm telling you, my beloved brothers and sisters, that dua where we should be saying, oh Allah, beautify iman in our hearts. Karrih ilayna al-kufra wal-fusuqa wal-isyan. Oh Allah, make detested for us disbelief and sin and that which is in transgression of your command. Make it unpleasant. Make it detested to us. That's a dua. So when something haram has to be done, a true believer just walks away. Even if shaitan says, just do it. No one is watching. Say, Allah is watching. No one is watching. Allah is watching. Shaitan will come, isn't it? Say, don't worry. No one is watching. Shaitan does this. Oh, it's a big opportunity. I'm going to make a million. Million from what? Stealing from that guy, can't happen. It's a million or a billion or a trillion. No, it's not happening. You know why? Because Allah will not give you blessings in that money. Allah won't give you blessings and barakah. Ask Allah and work hard. So Nuh alayhi salam, he then says to his people, Istaghfiru Rabbakum, seek the forgiveness of Allah. Now one might ask, why? You know, the young people, sometimes they are inquisitive. So they ask you a question. You are telling me to seek the forgiveness of Allah. What is in it for me? Isn't it? What can I get? Will I suddenly get things? The answer is, yes, you will. Yes. Istighfar. To seek the forgiveness of Allah, do you know what it will do for you? Number one, Allah will forgive you. قُلْ تُسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَّارًا. Indeed, Allah is most forgiving. يُرْسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدَرَارًا. He will send rain from the skies in abundance, in the correct measure. You know, rain is so tricky because more of it is a problem, just like less of it is a problem. You need the right amount. You have more rain, there's going to be flooding. May Allah protect us. You have less rain, there's going to be drought. May Allah protect us. You need the right amount. What should you do? Seek the forgiveness of Allah. Allah will give you beneficial rain.
وَيُمْدِدِكُمْ بِأَمْوَالٍ وَبَنِينَ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ جَنَّاتٍ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ أَنْهَارًا.
Four things. Allah says, He will grant you wealth. Amwal. When you seek the forgiveness of Allah, how will you get money? I show you how you get money. Who owns the whole world? Allah. Who made you and I? This afternoon in Jumu'ah, I said, nobody from amongst us is here by his choice. No one is on earth by his or her choice. You were placed here. You were put here. Did you decide, oh Allah, send me to the earth? Anyone? Did anyone say, I want to be on the earth? That's why you came here? No. Think about that all the time. You are here because someone put you here. Wallahi. The same someone who put you here is going to decide, it's enough, let's go back. Am I right? Allahu Akbar. So Allah says, I own everything. You want? Come knock on my door. I will give you. Who owns the sustenance that you want? Oh Allah. Young people say, oh Allah, make me rich straight away. Do you remember there was a clip of a Nigerian brother outside the Kaaba? What was he saying? Fulus, fulus. Do you know what happened to that brother? Wallahi, he's one of the rich guys. Did you follow that? Follow. Go check it. Go online. You can Google it. What happened to the brother? They call him Akhi. As soon as they see him, they say, Fulus, Fulus. Instead of Salamu Alaikum, he was complaining. When people see me, they say, Fulus, Fulus. They forget to say, Salamu Alaikum. Because on social media, you get to be known with certain things. But the brother became wealthy. Then I found out that actually that clip is only a small portion of his dua. The full dua, he started off by saying, oh Allah, forgive us. Oh Allah, grant us the ability to worship you. Oh Allah, grant us this and that. And he was asking Allah's forgiveness and mercy and Jannah and everything. And someone loved the dua and was listening to this guy crying to Allah. And he turned the camera and he started videoing it. By the time the video started, he was already nearly at the end of the dua. So after he asked all for forgiveness and for Jannah and for good wife and good children and so on, then he started asking for fulus. So then when he says fulus, fulus, what happened? You and I, when you see the clip, what do you think? You think negative, that this guy is only asking for fulus. But later on he said, wallahi, that's not true. They ask Allah for everything, but these guys only recorded. That's why be careful online when you see a clip of anyone. Don't believe that that's the whole story. Sometimes there's a big story that you don't know. It's a very important piece of advice. Social media, we are living in the age. That man became wealthy. If you go to his accounts on social media, he's showing you. He drives the latest BMW and mashallah, he moves and cruises. I don't even want to tell you how big his family is because someone might be offended because they don't even have a wife. May Allah grant us ease. May Allah grant us goodness. My beloved brothers and sisters, Allah is the owner. You ask him, you knock his door, you read, you fulfill your prayers. What he told you to do, you stay away from what he told you to stay away from. And you work hard. And if you fall, you seek his forgiveness. Allah will open the doors for you. Allah will give you. And you make an intention, oh Allah, give me so that I can do good with it. We all want millions and billions. In shillings, maybe trillions. Right? We all want big figures. But what is the intention? The intention should be that, oh Allah, give me so that I can spend on who? On the widows, on the orphans, on the masakin, on my family who don't have, on other people. I want to build a masjid. I want to do this. I want to bring the ummah together. I want to pay hospital bills for those who cannot pay. I want to help those who cannot get married to get married. I want to assist those who are struggling and suffering to pay rent and whatever else. Wallahi, if your heart is clear, Allah will give you. Allah will give you. Then when Allah gives you, spend. Don't change your mind. Many people pledge. You know, pledge, like today, for example, there is something called orphan. What is it? What? It's called embrace an orphan. You pay so many shillings and you look after the orphan. I think Young Muslims is doing the project. They spoke to me about it today. People pledge, I'll look after 10 orphans. So everyone thinks, okay, that's 10. When it comes time to give the money, some people say, I changed my mind. What? I changed my mind. But my brother, you made such a big scene of the whole thing, you changed your mind. It was Allah rejecting your money. He doesn't want it. That's what it is. Those orphans, do you really think they are going to die without you? Wallahi, someone else will spend money on them. Allah chooses whom He wants to give money to a certain cause. In this masjid, for example, if Allah wants, He will use your money here. If He doesn't want, He won't use your money. You might think, I don't want to give, but you don't know that it's Allah who doesn't want it. Allah owns everything. Allah owns you and everything you own. Allah owns all of that. So, when a person pledges something, they should follow it up. Don't just say, I changed my mind. Because when you promise Allah, follow that promise. Follow it. That's why they say, you know what is an-nadhr? In the Arabic language, it means to make a vow. Some people, they say, oh Allah, if I pass my exams, I will fast for 60 days. Why are you making it so hard on yourself? Oh Allah, if I pass my exams, I will fast for 60 days. The hadith says, "An-nadhru la ya'ti bi khair, wa innama yustakhraju min al-bakhil." You know what that means? If you wanted to do the deed, you could do it without making a vow to Allah, because Allah does not need your deed. You need it. It's like going to a wealthy man and telling him, "Here's a sweet." You're going to a wealthy man who has a fleet of the latest Cullinans, Rolls Royce, and you say, I want to do good. I'll give you a suite, but first come here. Who are you talking to? The guy will tell you, by the way, the suite you have, I own the factory. How's that? I own the factory. So if you are telling Allah, oh Allah, make me pass, I will do 2 months for you. Allah says, hey. You understand how bad it is? But if you did promise, fulfill the promise. So it is makruh to make such a promise. But if you did promise, you have to fulfill it, because then you are in trouble. You follow what I'm saying? The proper ruling, you can ask the scholars, they will tell you. It is better to do it the other way around, to say, Oh Allah, I fasted for the whole month of Ramadan. I ask you to help me so that I pass my exam. Now you are talking. You already did it. It's past tense. Oh Allah, I read the entire Quran only for your sake, between you and I. Help me to pass my exam. Now you are talking. Why? It's past tense. I'm not promising tit for tat. Allah doesn't need you. You follow what we are saying? An-nadhru la ya'ti bi khair wa innama yustakhraju min al-bakhil. It's only extracting the deed from a person who is miserly. You are miserly. You don't want to do the deed. So you're saying, give me, I give you. Allah says, what do you mean, give me, I give you? I am making your heart beat 136,000 times a day. You didn't even pay me for that. Subhanallah. And you want to tell me, give me, I give you? Allahu Akbar. Nonetheless, going back, we were talking about pledging and fulfilling the pledge. So Allah says, when you seek forgiveness, we will grant you wealth. And we will grant you offspring. Sometimes people don't have children. I tell you a few things. The way we eat nowadays from a young age messes up our reproductive system in many cases, and the cases are increasing. So sometimes you find a person is married 2, 3, 5 years. One of the things you need to do is clean the way you eat and what you eat. Cut out that which is unhealthy. Start eating healthy for 1 whole year. Proper. And ask Allah and call out to Allah. Inshallah, He will give you. He will give you. Sometimes it's very simple. You need to clean what you eat. We are eating too many modified foods. We are eating too many sweet things, too many unhealthy things. And we just don't even think about what we are eating. And we don't realize it messes your reproductive system. May Allah protect us. With that, you need to make sure that you seek the forgiveness of Allah. When you seek the forgiveness of Allah, do you know how He will give you? He owns it. He owns it, so He will give you. When you are a friend of a person who's extremely wealthy, very close friend, when he sees you are in need, do you think he's going to wait for you to ask him? He'll say, you are my friend. Are you not my friend? You are my friend. Here is a Rolls Royce. Allah, I don't know about those friends, but yeah, they could be. You are my friend. Here is the motor vehicle. Keep it. Take it. Motor vehicle, maybe Toyota they will give. Allahu alam. Some car they might. Some people, depending on how close you are to them and what you have done and how the relation is, don't you think the owner of entire creation, when you are close to him, he will say, oh my worshipper, I am giving you more than you want. You asked me for 1 million, I'm giving you 1 billion. The owner of the entire creation, he will do it for you. That is Allah. Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. So build your relation with Allah, seek forgiveness from him, and you see what will happen. Then Nuh alayhi salam, after he explained to his people that look, when you seek the forgiveness of Allah and turn to him, he will grant you beneficial rain. When you have beneficial rain, what will happen? Your crops will grow, the economy will boom, so many things will come right, everything comes alive, you are happy, the rivers are flowing. What else? Allah grants you gardens, both in this world and in the next. He will give you gardens. And above that, Allah Almighty will grant you the success of the hereafter completely. If I die now, or if you die now, where will we go? We go back to whoever put us here in the first place. Surely I need to have some hope that I'm going to a good place. What is the hope? The hope is that in my life, I never ever rendered an act of worship for anyone besides Allah. I did not put my head on the ground except for Allah. That's the hope I have. And I seek the forgiveness of Allah. I know, inshallah, I'm going into the mercy of Allah. Someone passes away as a Muslim. There is a beautiful prayer that comes after their name all the time. Say, for example, Brother Abdullah passed away. Whenever you talk of him after he passed away, you say, you know, Brother Abdullah, Allah yarhamu, he was a good man. What did you say? Allah yarhamu. May Allah have mercy on him. That's a dua you made. Because you were a good person. Someone made for you that dua. Or you made that dua for Abdullah. Because he was a good man. When you go to meet with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will grant you the goodness. You know, the son, Nuh alayhi salam, was told at one stage, لَن يُؤْمِنَ مِن قَوْمِكَ إِلَّا مَن قَدْ آمَن. That was very serious. Allah says, oh Nuh, nobody now is going to accept your message anymore. No new believers, no more. Whoever came, they came. Now no one is going to come. Imagine Allah says, لَن يُؤْمِنَ مِن قَوْمِكَ إِلَّا مَن قَدْ آمَنَ. Now, no new people are going to come in. Only those who have accepted, they are already believers. As for the others, now you can stop calling them. And don't worry. But we want you to build an ark. وَصْنَعِ الْفُلْكَ. Allah says, build an ark. Where? The middle of the city. You know, if you go to Mombasa, for example, you find them building boats. The bigger the boat, the closer to the water they build it. Because it's hard to move a whole ship from the middle of the city all the way to the water. I rather build it right near the water and we'll drop it into the water and we go. Huge ships, they have the building factories right next to the water. But Nuh alayhi salam was told to put it in the middle of the city. And he was told to build it massive. People began to laugh. They said, oh Nuh, you used to be a prophet. You stopped calling us. Now you are a carpenter. Now you are a carpenter. Wallahi, they were fools. They didn't see the miracle. Do you know what was the miracle? Listen to this. Allah allowed trees to grow very fast. As the tree grew, they chopped the tree, Nuh alayhi salam and a few people, they brought it down and it fitted like a jigsaw with the previous tree. And the next tree fitted like a jigsaw with that tree, as though it was cut in a factory. That was a miracle. They are watching, they are seeing, but too late. Now they are laughing. Allah says it's not going to help. But there was one sad thing. In fact, two sad things. The wife of Nuh alayhi salam refused to accept the message. The son of Nuh alayhi salam refused to accept the message. He knew they were not going to accept the message because Allah said no one new is going to come in. He was sad. Still he tried with his son because it started raining and it was not ordinary rain. The water was gushing from underneath as well. You see, they say the water table was rising. So it burst. So water came from underneath and from the top. And from the sides and from everywhere there was water. When that water came, Nuh alayhi salam called his son. He says, oh my son, what is this? What was he doing? He was offering his son enlightenment. Loud echo. Enlightenment. He's telling him, oh my son, come. Oh my son, come into the ship with us. Oh my son, come into the ship with us so that you don't drown. Subhanallah. Ya bunayya arkam ma'ana wa la takum ma'al kafirin. Oh my son. Noah is telling his son, oh my son, come and ride with us. Come. And don't be from the disbelievers. Nuh alayhi salam actually took in with him animals and species by the instruction of Allah. They were wondering what's going on, but they kept laughing. They did not take the message seriously. You know what the son replied?
قَالَ سَآوِي إِلَىٰ جَبَلٍ يَعْصِمُنِي مِنَ الْمَاءِ.
I am going to climb at the top of the mountain. I'll do mountain climbing. I'll be hiking up. I'll go to the top of the mountain. It will save me from the water. What's the big deal? Every time water comes, we can go to a high area and there won't be any water in the high area. Nuh alayhi salam looked at his son and says, you know what?
La عاصم اليوم من أمن الله إلا من رحم.
Nobody is going to be saved from the command of Allah on this day except the one whom Allah has mercy on. And suddenly what happened? A massive wave came between them and that young fellow drowned. He neither listened to his father, nor did he develop a relationship with Allah, nor did he understand himself that I need help today. He didn't understand any of that. So when the wave came, he drowned. Up to this day, the echo of Nuh alayhi salam's words remains with us in the Quran. Allah mentions it not so that you can say, nice story, but you ask yourself, how many times have people reminded you and I to do good and to quit the bad? Because there will be a day when it will be too late, but we don't listen to the echoes and we don't want that enlightenment. Am I right or wrong? Wallahi, people remind us, my brother, change your way. My brother, stop this. You know, Salah, your friends died. Someone else passed away. Someone else failed. Someone else is unwell. But we don't learn the lesson. Why? Because we didn't want to. However, when the ummah is struggling, one good thing that comes out of it is that people come together and they find the masjid again. Do you not agree the issue that has faced the ummah in Gaza has brought us together and has made us reconsider our relationship with Allah in a positive way? Don't you agree? Today people are more serious about their deen and their faith. Do you know why? They are watching their brothers and sisters be persecuted exactly as was described by Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So we became stronger. And there are non-Muslims studying the Quran. Non-Muslims. And they are entering the fold of Islam. And you and I who are born Muslims, in the case of a lot of us or most of us, we are inshallah beginning to take our deen a little bit more seriously. Would you not agree? So I want to encourage you, my brothers, my sisters, let's not give up. Keep that movement going and Allah will grant you success. Keep it going and Allah will grant you goodness. Keep moving closer and closer to Allah. Don't ever go backwards. You quit a bad habit, don't go back. You stopped watching pornography, don't go back. It won't help you. It won't help you. My beloved fathers here, this is a random piece of advice. If you have daughters or sons, as they get to the age of marriage, make it a little bit easy for them to get married. Is that a good piece of advice? Is that a good piece of advice? That yes was loud enough. I'm seeing all young people. I thought you would have said yes before I finished my sentence. My beloved fathers, if you have sons and daughters of marriage age, I call upon you from this pulpit to say, make it easier for them to get married. Don't make it tough. We need them to get married young age. If it means you help them, help them. If it means you need to assist them, assist. Make it easy. The ummah needs people who are free from sin. We are living in a hypersexual age. If you are not going to facilitate for the young to marry, they will end up doing haram and we will regret. There's no point for me to deny that. Young kids, 6-7 years old, know what I'm talking about, wallahi. Don't be a fool to think, no they don't. They know more than you. Look, some of the young boys are smiling at me because they know what I'm talking. May Allah forgive us. I met a young guy, 11 years old. He says, am I allowed to do nikah to protect myself from haram? I told him, hey, bear sabr, man. Come on, sabr. Even your father won't be able to help. I cannot help. Say, you know what, but I need to save myself from haram. Allah made it easy. Why are you making it hard? First you have to bear sabr. The Prophet ﷺ says, وَمَنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ فَعَلَيْهِ بِالصَّوْمِ. If you cannot, you must fast. Fast every day. Young boy, 11 years old. All the energy. He's thinking, I need to get married. Wallahi, thank Allah. At least he is thinking to marry the opposite sex. Thank Allah. We will guide him, but he's heading in the right direction. Few more years and we can tell him, Bismillah, yalla, let's go. Right? MashaAllah. May Allah make it easy for all our children. So, if we are going to facilitate halal as an ummah, we will be able to protect our children from haram. And if we make halal difficult, we will be encouraging our children to do haram. Follow what I'm saying. So it's our duty to care for the needs of the ummah. Yes, we will protect our daughters and our sons. So we won't allow them to just get married to any old person who might have conned them. Yet they have bad habits and bad characteristics that are known. Because the hadith tells you, as a wali and a guardian, you need to look at the one who wants to marry your daughter. Do you have deen? Do you have akhlaq? Are you a responsible person? Yes, if my daughter also wants to marry you, Bismillah, I will not be an obstacle. Because you have the characteristics, you are ready. When are you ready? When you have responsibility, you have deen, you have akhlaq. Your connection with Allah is good and you know how to talk to people and you have good character, good conduct, good morals and good values. You are ready to get married by the will of Allah. The other day, one brother was asking me a question. He said, if a woman asks for $50,000 for mahar, is it a red flag or a green flag? Have you seen that? What did I say? I said it's a red flag. Why did I say it's a red flag? $50,000. My son is 22. You start him off on a debt. His mentality will be that of a person who's already in debt of 50K. Do you expect him to succeed as a man and come out and earn and say, wow, I'm going to provide for my family? Or he's already with a negative mindset from day one. I need to marry you, but you know what? I'm in debt. Write it, minus 50. I started my life minus 50. Can't you help me? Your own father, I'm talking of the one who's asking for $50,000 as mahar. Your own father only got the first 50,000 when he was 60 years old. So let's wait. Wait for what? When you are old with a walking stick, I'll come with the 50,000. Here's the 50,000. Let's get married, mashallah. We do our nikah. You have to walk with a walking stick. How will you get married?
Allahu Akbar.
May Allah grant us ease. It's not haram. You can, if there's wealthy families sometimes. But to say that I will demand from you something you don't have. All the boys out here, I think 99% of them, they will not afford 50,000 at this age. Am I right or wrong? Hey, they are answering. Jazakallah khair. Now we have started our lecture, guys. Now we started. Imagine telling you 50, if someone says, look, inshallah, we will honor each other. It's not a sale. I'm not selling my daughter. When the guy thinks he paid for your daughter, he will abuse her. He will say, look, I paid. Come here. Sit down. Say, but I don't want to. I paid. Sit down. That's not how it is. That's not Islam. There is honor, dignity. I told you it's not haram, but it is definitely a red flag. Because some people were saying, no, Sheikh, how can you make haram what Allah made? I didn't say haram. I said red flag. Red flag means it's something you need to be wary of. Be careful. If it is a business deal from day one, you're putting me in debt and I haven't even started my life. Imagine what will happen. We will walk in the mall. We will walk in the mall with one problem. There is a niqab, but the eyes are looking. There is a designer watch. Can you see that? I can't see. Why? I can't. You can see everything. You're pretending like you can't see. Because you know, if I walk into the mall, another 50K. Mahar was 50, there's another 50. What else? You want to buy a car? I know someone who said that if you marry my daughter, and this is a true story, it happened a few years ago, you are not allowed to drive a vehicle unless it is German. Have you ever heard that? If I ask you, is that a red flag or a green flag? You know what I will tell you? That is not even a flag. Not even a flag. You cannot even bring the flag up. I don't even want to talk. Subhanallah, you are wasting the flags. German car. I will bring one of those old VWs from long back and I will come and say, that's the German vehicle. Subhanallah. May Allah forgive us. We ask for ridiculous things. That's why I say, when you make the halal difficult, you know what happens? The children become very, very despondent. And then they don't look forward to getting married. I met a brother, 35 years old. With all due respect, may Allah make it easy for you to marry. I told him, are you married? He said, no. I said, why? He cracked a joke. He said, inshallah, when I marry, I'll marry all four one time. I said, be careful what you say. Be careful what you say. And he came up with another idea. And obviously, this is banter that sometimes people actually just have while they are chit-chatting with the boys. He says, I learned a trick. What's the trick? I will marry my second wife before I marry my first wife. How? He says, because if you want to marry a second wife, they will never let you. So I rather marry the second one first and then the first one. So I said, but how? He says, you know how? When I want to get married, I'll say, you know, everything is okay. Even maybe I can give you that 50K, but you are my second wife. Oh, so who is your first one? Don't worry about her. She's not an obstacle. You won't see her. It's okay. One day when she's ready to see you, we'll see. For now, don't worry. It's okay. You know, you are my second wife. So he marries. He says, when I marry, what will happen? After a few years, when I find another woman, I said, I will marry you. And the nikah happens. And then he tells his wife, who he married first, who was told she was the second, remember one day I told you that I have another wife. Say, yes, let me introduce you to her. I told him, my brother, that's the reason why you are not married. Because these thoughts, they are from shaitan. These thoughts are from shaitan. You are planning. Someone might say, why do you want to marry your second wife before the first one? Marry the fourth one first. So at least you can say there are other three. They won't disturb you. Why do you want to start at two? Start at four. These thoughts are from shaitan, wallahi. Those who sit and think like this, they become 30, 35, 40, 45. They're not yet married because they are saying, inshallah, inshallah, inshallah. Don't worry, I'll show you guys what I will do. You are doing nothing and you will do nothing. Say bismillah. Don't set the bar so high that there are no such people. One day, there was a sister who sent me an email. She says, I'm looking for a husband. You come across so many young men. please, if you come across someone with these qualities, let me know. So I said, okay, now I'm reading. He must be handsome, he must be tall, he must have beautiful hair, he must have he must be a 5 times salah, get up for tahajjud. He must be a wealthy man, and he must really be very clean and smart, and he must be intelligent, he must have a degree. I replied back, inshallah, you will meet him in Jannah. What do you want me to say? You will meet him in Jannah. That man does not exist. He's not there. You have to compromise some things. Which things are you going to compromise? Look, sometimes there are two. Ask yourself, what can I live without? Can I give you a beautiful example? They ask me, you have been to many countries. Which is the best country? So I used to say this country, that country. Then I realized the answer is wrong. Listen to the true answer. Which country do you think is the best country? I knew you would say Kenya. La ilaha illallah. Say it again. Nigeria. Mashallah. Where are you from? Where are you from? Kenya. You better not show your face on the camera. Okay. Let me tell you what is the answer. Every country Allah has blessed it with something and taken away something from it without exception. There is no country that has the full package. Not one. So in Kenya, you will have some amazing things that they don't have in Europe. But they will have some things that you also don't have. Do you agree? And it's amazing how every country is the same. That they have some things that others don't have. And they don't have some things that others have. That's Allah's way. When you go somewhere, you realize, wallahi, Allah has blessed them. What did you notice? Something. I went to a very beautiful country. I don't want to say the name because I'm saying something negative. The weather, it was beautiful, superb, amazing. Really, like as if you are in a piece of something out of this world. But the weather was hot and humid. So hot and so humid. I had to say, oh Allah, you have never created perfection except in Jannah. Allah has created perfection only for a few things. One is Jannah. And from amongst us, as humankind, perfection is for Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Follow what we are saying. Otherwise, for you and I, Allah has kept perfection in Jannah. If we had everything here, it was not going to be worth our while to go to Jannah. In the same way, every human being, not one of us has the full package. If the guy is tall and handsome, maybe he's not so rich. If the guy is handsome and rich, maybe he's not intelligent. If the guy is handsome, rich and intelligent, maybe he doesn't pray. If the guy prays and is good in Quran and something, maybe he's not so handsome. There has to be something you are ready to compromise. What is it that you need to compromise? Ask yourself. But if you want all of that together, and you say, inshallah, I will find. Allah will not let me down. Allah will never let you down. He will give you that in Jannah. He won't let you down. Because you are being unreasonable. You are here on earth. May Allah Almighty strengthen us. So, Nuh alayhi salam lost his son. And he was saddened. And Allah says, no, don't be sad. Allah says, he was distanced from us, so you don't count him as a member of your family. He's lost. Do we want to be lost? May Allah strengthen all of us. May Allah grant us goodness. I mentioned a few of the pointers regarding the story of Nuh alayhi salam, and I brought into my talk this evening some issues of the reality around us and how we can improve as young boys and girls, young men and women. Wallahi, my brothers and sisters, life is too short. We need to come closer to Allah. Come to the masjid, no matter what. And when others come to the masjid, make them feel happy and encourage them and make them feel welcome. The house of Allah. You came here, Masha, Assalamu alaikum. How are you, my brother? And we come and we sit together and we pray together and we will walk out and we are happy. And if I don't see you in some prayers, I can say, my brother, where were you today? I didn't see you. Not because I'm a security guard. But because I just want to ask you, are you okay? Everything well? Alhamdulillah. That is Allah. And that's the favor of Allah. May Allah Almighty bless all of us and grant us goodness. I want to thank all of you for coming in so early, for being so patient, for sitting. Some of you out there, the sisters perhaps who are at the back, may Allah Almighty bless all of you and grant you goodness. Whatever difficulty you have in your life, may Allah alleviate that struggle. And we pray for the Ummah, our brothers and sisters, not only in Gaza, but all over the world. Look at Sudan, look at so many places where so much of trouble is happening. We ask Allah to protect us. Wallahi, we need that togetherness. We need to connect with one another. And we definitely need to care for each other. I was speaking moments ago about this caring for an orphan. Inshallah, that project, they may announce it. If you can, be of assistance. Take one orphan. أَنَا وَكَافِلُ الْيَتِيمِ كَهَاتَيْنِ فِي الْجَنَّةِ. Myself and the one who takes care of an orphan will be like this in paradise. Take care of an orphan, Allah will open your doors. When you spend, the hadith says, أَنْفِقْ يَبْنَ آدَمَ أُنْفِقْ عَلَيْكِ. Allah Almighty, hadith Qudsi, he says, spend, O son of Adam, I will spend on you. You want, give and see. Whenever I have given, I got more. I promise you, wallahi. Whenever I have given, I got more. That doesn't mean go home and take everything and put it out and say, now Sheikh said, I'm getting more, let me wait. But you give where there is a need, and you know you can give because Shaitan, he makes you miserly, miserly. Give you one last example before I close. There was a brother who told me that when I was young, I started earning and I said, I'm going to spend when I get. When I got the first 1,000, I said, wait, let me earn a little bit more than I will spend. I got 10,000. I said, hang on, I want to make an investment, I will get and spend. He said, I made an investment, started getting income. I said, wait, I need to get 100,000 and then I will buy a small property. He said, I waited until I got 100,000, bought a property. I said, you know what, let me let the rental collect and I want to buy 3-4 properties. He said, then I realized I haven't even spent in the cause of Allah. See, in the process you must start spending. Don't say, wait, hang on, let me do more. No, wait, hang on, let me do more. While you are earning, you are also spending something for the cause of Allah. And Allah will give you lots and lots of goodness. May Allah Almighty bless all of us. We want to continue, inshallah, tomorrow with the echoes of enlightenment by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in various other masajid here in Nairobi. I pray that Allah grant us acceptance and I pray that Allah gather us in Jannatul Firdaus. I pray that Allah give us Jannatul Firdaus without reckoning. Through his mercy, may he grant us the companionship of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Jazakumullahu khayra wa akhiru da'wana. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.